Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, thanks for joining us. We didn't know if it was going to happen this morning, but appreciate you taking time to join us.
Well, I'm already mad. I forgave Joe yesterday, but I'm already mad because somebody in the text line in the last segment said that I said that Randy Bullock was more important than A.J. Brown. That's not what I said.
I'm just reading the text.
Caroline's question was, why did the Titans lose? And I blamed John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, and Craig Aukerman, the three people in charge of Randy Bullock, because if Randy Bullock kicks the ball through the uprights from 47 yards, which any kicker in the NFL should be able to do, except apparently this one, if he kicks the ball through the uprights at 47 yards, and I guess Hot Rod, who got cut, so he's not in the NFL anymore, if he kicks the ball through the uprights, they win. It's completely binary. So the question was, why did they lose? Because they missed that kick. If he makes it, it's binary. Now, if A.J. Brown's on the team, and he probably has 120 yards, maybe 180 yards, because that Giants team was so bad, then, yeah, of course the Titans are going to win. But it's not as binary as just the ball going through the upright. That's all I was saying.
Well, before
I do not think that A.J. Brown is less important to the 2022 Tennessee Titans than their lack of a kicker. Though I do think the lack of a kicker is something for 3 years that the Titans have just conveniently ignored.
Well, I think what Megan's referring to is then I said, well, if John Robinson can be part of the blame, then that's fine. I'll put him on my list too, but I'm going to go ahead and say the A.J. Brown thing is a bigger issue to me than the kicker thing. I mean, look, they have a pretty good kicker. It's a much better situation than they had a couple years ago. I don't disagree that, first of all, you got to count on him to make that kick. Second of all, they need to try to upgrade. But I understand if a game comes down to a kick, he missed a kick, you're going to talk about him. To me, there are bigger issues, and absolutely A.J. Brown's a bigger issue.
Well, Jared, so, on that front, real quickly, just first off, congratulations on another win. I was telling Joe earlier, it's kind of like the Tennessee-Florida rivalry. Like, I'm looking back now, and you look back recent history, not a lot of wins for Joe on Jared versus Joe.
I'll let you take that up with Joe. I think that's...
No, I think, in fact, I think you've won all of them. Hasn't he won all of them? I think
you won last week.
Maybe I think so.
You won last week.
No, you know what? I want you to have that one.
No, these things are settled on the scoreboard.
There's no scoreboard. There's Caroline, your co-host, asking questions and then subjectively deciding who wins. So I think that you've won them all, Jared.
Nope.
I think you will win them all. I concede all of them to you for the future, okay? I want you to win all of them. Do you accept?
No. So,
yes,
more
you
importantly,
you just won that conversation. You just won that
if
argument.
You want to
congratulations.
If you want to vacate it like Reggie Bush's Heisman where Vince Young doesn't get one, then that's on you. But I am not accepting anything that I did not earn.
Fair
he and
earned
square.
It. Oh, yeah. You earned it. Well
I
done.
Earned it by
well
out-debating.
Earned. Yeah.
But let
yeah,
me say this.
Yeah.
Let
totally,
me say this.
Totally.
This is the question I have, though, back to that, which was going back to the Randy Bullock thing. You say that it's better than it used to be. Is it better than Steven Goskowski?
Oh, man. Goskowski was, I mean, remember, it was very close with Goskowski to being like, he's got to get out of here. And then he turned it around. Honestly, I would say that I would have still more faith right now in Randy Bullock going into the next game than I would have like last the Goskowski season going into a particular game. I think it is a little bit better.
I disagree because I have more confidence in Goskowski being able to make a kick from 50-plus yards. Bullock can't make a kick from over like 47 yards.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. I mean, in terms of like you just have to cut it off at a certain distance, that's not what you want. You want a better kicker. I mean, I don't think anybody's disagreeing with that.
So Randy Bullock is 3 for 5 in game-winning kicks as a member of the Titans, and I'm throwing in that Jets one, which would have been a tie instead of a win, but I think it kind of counts the same, right?
Yeah.
So he's 3 for 5, but he hasn't hit anything in those big clutch moments over 44. The clutchest kick he's hit over 45 was a 46-yarder against the Colts to tie it at 24 in the fourth quarter, whereas every other, you know, kick over 45 was either early in that Jets game from, I want to say, 46, and then he hit a 51-yarder to go up 27-0 against the Chiefs. He is not, I don't know if in today's NFL, if you can have a team where you're trying to compete in the AFC, and it's like, hey, no matter what happens, we can't kick it with the game on the line unless it's 45 or in. And then that, I just don't know if that exists. Like, I want to rip on Vrabel for the timeout and the losing 2 yards to set up the hash and Bullock still blowing the kick. And I think I am still kind of mad at Vrabel for that. But at the same time, I mean, if you don't have a kicker that can kick from 45 or 47 with the game on the line, that guy doesn't belong in the NFL. Steven Goskowski hit a 49-yarder in his second game with the Titans. And I thought Steven Goskowski was, you know, kind of at the end there, though I like Steven Goskowski. I mean, but he hit from 49 to win the Jack game. He hit from 54 and 55 in order to beat the Vikings the next week. I mean, Bullock, you can't send Randy Bullock out there from 55. And so I look at it and I think to myself, okay, if you're going to be in the AFC and you're going to compete with Cincinnati and you're going to compete with their kicker, who I think had a rough day on Sunday, but we all saw what he did in the playoffs last year. You're going to compete with Baltimore and their kicker. You're going to compete with Denver's kicker, who almost made a 64-yarder on the road the other night. Like, you're going to compete with those teams that can actually kick it. Carlson with the Raiders. I mean, I just don't – I think it's a humongous disadvantage that the Titans have had for 3 years, and they got by in 2019 with it. Goskowski, you know, shaped up some in 2020. I don't think – I think ultimately this is going to bite them in the rear end, and it makes me very nervous. And I go back to last year's Bengals game. The Titans went for it on 4th-and-1 at the 34, 35-yard line because they know they can't kick it. They lost by 3 points. So – I do think that, well, I don't think it's as important as A.J. Brown, big picture for the team. I do think kicker. They spent the offseason worrying about punter, and I think kicker is way more important than saving 6 yards of field position with a new punter.
Now, to that point, you have been very critical of Craig Aukerman this week. And
oh, thanks for bringing that
well,
up.
Well, I guess my question to you, Jared, is like when it comes to this with Randy Bullock, like, is this not more on Vrabel and John Robinson than it is Craig Aukerman? Like, Craig Aukerman's not picking the kicker, is he?
Now, he's it's also his fault that he missed the kick per Jared. That's on Aukerman. He didn't give him a good pep talk going on the field.
So I do ask this with all sincerity. Who do you think does pick the kicker?
When they bring guys in to work out,
you don't think Ackerman's there watching the kicker and
sure.
Then put together and say, okay, which one did we like? Did we like Johnny or Joey? Oh, we like Joey? Okay, we'll sign Joey.
Okay, so yeah, of course he has input. Along the way here in the last few years, since they've gone through this whole carousel, starting with Succop getting hurt and then bringing him back too early and all that stuff, Santoso, blah, blah, blah. We all know the story. During that time, Is there a clear choice that it's like they chose door B, but they should have chosen door A? I mean, a lot of guys leave here and are good, but I mean,
well, the answer is Succop. Yeah, well, gave up on him too quick.
But I mean, so do you think that it's, you know, Robinson? Well, you know, I think Succop's gonna. This is Coach Aukerman. I'm sorry, John. We got to move on from Ryan Succop. Well, Auk said so. Let's go. No, he has input, but you give way too much credit to not just Aukerman, but I think like position coaches in general. And you just so badly want them fired. It's pretty amazing.
So Flores told me back in the day that he would look at coaches if he felt like an entire position group was struggling. So if one receiver is struggling, he blames the receiver. If all the receivers are struggling, then he would look at the coach, which I think is a very basic.
That's fair.
You know, the Titans in the last 5 years have not had anybody on special teams that can return kicks, return punts, kick field goals since Succop went cold. And now they've got a kicker who can bang the daylights out of the ball, but they really have to work with positioning with Stonehouse because they gave up some returns that they're really going to have to. I mean, he's got a great leg, but they're really going to have to teach him how to directionally punt this ball.
That's true. By the way, Brett Kern has been on this team. I guess, is that Aukerman, like, great pep talks or great, like, working with Kern? Like, does he get credit for Kern or no?
Well, he wasn't here when Kern came here. So he.
But he was here with Kern. Kern performed well. Does that count or no?
Kern performed well before him.
Oh, okay. So if someone performed well before him, then he has no relevance. Okay.
Yes, when I think
this
about
is an
Kurt
interesting
Warner,
roadmap of
when
Jared
I when
rules
I think
about
the 2009 Arizona Cardinals that went to the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner, I don't give Ken Whisenhunt credit for great offense because he had Larry Fitzgerald who was good before him and after him.
That's fine.
And he had Kurt Warner who had won a Super Bowl and been to another and been a two-time league MVP before him, and right. I know Ken Whisenhunt can't coach. I go back to this with Aukerman, which is I don't believe that this team ever gets any better on special teams. I mean, they drafted Adoree Jackson. You all remember when they drafted Adoree Jackson?
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to be like a game-changing punt returner. It was supposed to be like when they drafted Pac-Man Jones. And that's so they add Adoree. He never was able to return punts. And so we could say, okay, is that Aukerman's fault or is that Adoree Jackson's fault? And we can do that with every single thing that happened. People said to me the other day, it's not Aukerman's fault that Kyle Phillips muffed a punt. It's not Aukerman's fault that Treylon Burks got called for holding that moved the Titans back 10 yards on a drive that they ended up having to punt three and out and the Giants scored on the next play. It's not Craig Aukerman's fault that Randy Bullock missed the kick. It's not Craig Aukerman's fault that Kyle Phillips fielded a punt at the 3 yard line. Like at some point when all those things add up, and they've added up over the years consistently of this team can never find a kicker or Cam Batson is kneeling down in the end zone for a safety or whatever's happened over the years. At some point, don't we point the finger at the special teams coach or does he get a pass for everything because it's not his fault that he didn't kick that ball and it's not his fault because he didn't field that punt?
I mean, they did have a 50-yard punt return on Sunday too. They hadn't had that in a while.
No, that doesn't count. The good stuff doesn't count.
That was a good punt return. But as far as one punt return, when's the last time they had a 50-yard punt return?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
The fact, like, here's where I get disappointed with the coaching. Kyle Phillips, for instance, fielded a punt in the end zone against the Buccaneers. And everybody after that punt in that preseason game was like, hey, don't do that. And then he goes and fields a punt at the 3 yard line. Like, so is he taking to the coaching or is everybody else just saying don't do that, but they're not coaching him to do that? And those are things that they'll never tell us. But I have seen horrendous special teams for years with the Titans, and Vrabel does nothing about it. And I just think this is a Vrabel thing. I think he gets so stubborn about his coordinators, and I don't know what it is. But I remember, Joe, you asked Vrabel after the Cincinnati game in 2020 where they got embarrassed about defensive coordinator. And Vrabel got pretty sharp with you about that. About, now I see how they coach them. I know what they're doing, so I know it's fine. And with Downing, yesterday, I was reading an article that was written by the Raiders SB Nation site. And in it, it was talking about how bad Downing was as the offensive coordinator with the Raiders, that Jack Del Rio was going to fire Downing after the end of the year, and instead it's alleged that Mark Davis fired Del Rio because he was mad that Del Rio fired the offensive coordinator to elevate Downing. So not only did Todd Downing, was he going to get fired after 1 year with the Raiders, but supposedly, according to this article, allegedly, Mark Davis fired Jack Del Rio because of his faith in Todd Downing, and Vrabel won't change it. So, I mean, my problem with Aukerman is that I don't think he can coach, but my bigger problem is that Vrabel, once somebody becomes a coordinator for Mike Vrabel, there is nothing that person can do to lose that position, and it's driving me crazy.
Jared, congratulations.
My God, you talk a lot.
Jared, congratulations.
Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
Well, we don't have... I think it's a little early to say you are absolutely a Supreme Court justice if you're a coordinator for Mike Vrabel. Now, I agree in season. I don't think we'll ever see him, like, you know, sacrifice someone in season. I think if he thought that Aukerman was a bad coach, that he would make a change. And I don't think it's like he's like, whatever happens, I don't care, Aukerman, you're good with me. I disagree.
And do you think that their special teams are underwhelming, though?
Underwhelming, I think, is fair overall, yes. And I'm not saying you're missing this. Aukerman's amazing, but this your obsession that he has to be fired like it's all been bad. That's not true either. And you're going broad brush. You're going, you know, you're again deciding not to look at like specifics or nuance. You're just going to go broad brush and fire him, fire him, fire him, and that's you going overboard like you often do.
Jared? Oh, no. I've been calling for Ackerman for like 6 years.
Oh, I know. I know, Jared.
And then they mess up. They mess up four things in the first game. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then the Downing thing. Do you think that Vrabel's too loyal to Downing?
Well, I mean, look, I think the Downing thing is very, very much Bears watching here. And so far, it's a small sample size with him as a coordinator. It's two seasons and a game. I would say it's not a good sample size. So, look, I mean, I'm open to that debate and to that idea. That I also agree with people who say, like, some of these things are consistent under Vrabel in terms of some of the complaints about the offense. But the difference is the offense was incredible with Arthur Smith. Also, I would say to all of that, it also helps to have A.J. Brown in your team. Keeps coming back to that, doesn't it?
It normally does. Jared, congratulations on yet another victory in the competition with Jared versus
Joe. I think he won today, too. Well, I'm going to give him – hey, you get the dub today, brother.
Maybe so.
Good job.
Appreciate you joining us this morning, Jared.
See you, Robbie.
good stuff. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Crowded House at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Sunday, which is this Sunday, so Sunday, September 18th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Crowded House at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Sunday. 615-737-1025. A nice conversation with Jared Stillman in the last segment. Lots of reaction on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Zach from Nashville texting in says, "Can't believe I'm saying this. Hell must have frozen over. But Jared is right. The special team's clearly a consistently underachieving unit, and at that point it has to be coaching. If it's consistent from season to season, that's a coaching thing. So Jared wins and goes up 37-0 on Joe, and now I have to go take a shower." Thank you, Zach.
I mean, it's like 1,000-0, isn't it? So Dave in Big Rock also says, "You know, I'm pretty pro Rex Show, but Jared got Joe today mostly because he never got to talk." That's true. But also, I said two seasons is a small sample size for a coordinator. I think everyone was pretty comfortable Downing wasn't good after the Bengals game. My argument back is actually I think I've probably been more down on Downing than Jared has been. I would think. I mean, he's actually sort of been pro Downing. Again, I mean last year, I don't think Downing was great. I don't think it was like something like all year. Were we sitting there all year like, "Oh my God, this coordinator's bad"? I mean, we did talk quite a bit about, man, there seems to be a difference between Arthur Smith and Downing. But also, again, pass protection was such a fall off the cliff thing last year. Yeah, it's hard. I'm not smart enough to figure out exactly, you know, how much of the blame goes here, how much of the blame goes there, you know? I do think right now we can all agree that, you know, Downing is under scrutiny, and that's totally fair.
Yeah. Alex from Montreal on the text line. "Can the A.J. Brown trade lead to the end of J-Rob? I'm not trolling. It's an honest question." It's coming from Alex from Montreal. I don't know. I don't know if I'm willing to go leading to the end of J-Rob, but I will say, like, we said it at the time, and, you know, I remember the day after that draft when he got traded is a show that I probably will not forget for a long time. It was quite the discussion on A.J. Brown that day, and it's been interesting to watch how that conversation has evolved, especially with Titans fans since then. I mean, they're clearly a weaker team without him, and I think if we look, we'll see how Treylon Burks progresses over the season, and maybe he grows into being A.J. Brown. I don't know. But right now, I mean, you can't tell me they're not 1-0 right now if A.J. Brown's on that team.
Yeah. No question. As far as the whole J-Rob thing, well, first of all, here's someone asking a question. If we signed A.J., do you think could have kept Simmons next year? Yes. The Titans
could have. Yeah, people keep acting like this is like you were picking one over the other, and it's not.
Yeah, I mean, look, in fact, I'll drift Jared's way. I mean, the cap is real. There are still parameters. Like, there's no team out there who can go New York Yankees or Detroit Red Wings or whatever. Like, it's real. But it is very also malleable, okay? And if you have great players in teams, this, you know, if you have great players like those two, the Titans, yes, they could have figured something out. Now you're going to sacrifice somewhere else, but yes, absolutely. They could have signed AJ and kept Jeff Simmons. As far as the end of J-Rob, look, it's if it gets to the point where, you know, you get to the end of Derrick Henry's tenure, you get to the end of Ryan Tannehill, you don't have a great replacement at quarterback, you have bad losing teams, well, then that's what happens is people lose their jobs. Coaches and GMs lose their jobs. If the Titans start going like downhill, if they don't make the playoffs this year and it's a clear downward trajectory, then that's close enough to the AJ move that then, you know, you can start talking about it. But right now, again, overall, the big picture of John Robinson as Titans GM is extremely good.
We'll have Kayla Anderson from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans as well as we continue to look ahead to the Bills game. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans all show long. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, get into Tennessee and Vanderbilt. What have we learned about these two teams? In Tennessee's case, through two games. In Vanderbilt's case, through three. We'll get Joe Rexroth's thoughts on that as well. Coming up next, right now, Michelle has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do, Robbie. From Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. Hey, everyone. It's me, Michelle Knezovic. And you don't need to be at the game to enjoy football this fall. Download the Superbook Sportsbook app. I downloaded the app on my phone last week. Or you can visit superbook.com and start placing your bets now. I might have placed a bet on a little Thursday night football action tonight. I'm taking the Chiefs minus the 4. Trust Patrick Mahomes just a little bit more than Justin Herbert right now. Right now, Superbook has lines up for every NFL game for the rest of the season. Plus, you can do some futures actions. Who's going to win the title? Who's going to win your MVP? And who will surprise in the SEC? Tennessee taking on Akron. 47.5 point favorite by Tennessee. I'm taking Akron. That spread is just too big. Wager on all that and more right now at Superbook Sports, along with football. Superbook accepts wagers on every major sport. So bring Vegas to the palm of your hands, and now Superbook will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. Get on the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Tune into the college football game of the week on 102.5-106.3 The Game this Saturday as Georgia takes on South Carolina at 11 a.m. The college football game of the week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5-106.3 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We did have a texter text in that say, I think y'all should give Jared a little bit more respect. He really does have the best takes of anyone at the station. Signed, Starrett Gilman on the text line.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yes. It certainly is. Joe, we talked a lot about Tennessee, their big win against Pittsburgh over the weekend. We'll get more to them here in just a few minutes. I want to get your thoughts on Vanderbilt to start, because we're three games in. They played one more game than most teams in college football thus far. 2-1. Got a chance to go 3-1 in non-conference play as they go on the road for a tough game this weekend. They're actually not favored on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Northern Illinois, 2.5-point favorite on the road for Vanderbilt this weekend. What have you learned about Vanderbilt thus far, and have they exceeded your expectations thus far? How do you kind of view what you've seen through three games from Clark Lee and Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I would say they've exceeded. That's tough. I'd say they've probably exceeded expectations a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't have necessarily guessed that they would be able to put 63 points on anyone, 63 points on air. And I understand Hawaii is bad. Yes. By the way, there's like some like the bottom, people do like the bottom 25, whatever.
Bottom 10, like Ryan McGee?
Yeah, but this is like more analytics-based.
Oh, okay.
So I saw a tweet yesterday. Hawaii, absolute number one, you know, the worst team. Colorado State, number two. UConn, number 17. That's Michigan's non-league schedule.
Yes, it is. Harbaugh's really going out on a limb out there, isn't he?
Harbaugh needs more crap for that. My God, that's disgusting. But for Vanderbilt, I actually thought the defense showed me something against Wake Forest. They end up giving up the big plays, and that's what, I mean, Wake Forest does that to a lot of people. But I thought they really flew around and played well for a pretty good chunk of that game. So overall, I think they have exceeded expectations, but this game is so huge. You know, you go to 3-1, you feel pretty good about things. And look, then you can go in the SEC, and I think you look at Missouri, and I think you look at South Carolina, and you have a chance. And by the way, if you get to that, even if you just get to 5-7, you got a chance to get a postseason game, depending on how things go. Excuse me. But I also, last game, it just – I mean, look, I respect Dave Clawson, what he's done at Wake Forest. I was somewhat stunned to see the lack of success moving the ball, throwing the ball that Vanderbilt had in that game. And Mike Wright made some mistakes you can't make, you know, of course, but also just the ineffectiveness and the inability to really get anything going was concerning for me. So it's a big week to me for that offense. Look, they have to run the ball. They are, I think, potentially really good running team when they play opponents they can run on. You know, and that's the thing. There's not a ton on the schedule. This is one of those games, like, you got to be able to run the ball, but you also, like, you've got to be able to be efficient in the passing game and convert some third downs and things like that. So it's a big game for Mike Wright. I like the whole A.J. Swan, Mike Wright, QB thing.
Well, J.C. in Goodsville in text line says, is Vandy another slow start by Mike Wright away from the A.J. Swan era?
Yeah, I don't think the A.J. Swan era, like a total takeover of the job, I don't think that's close. Now, look, at some point this season, if Mike Wright struggles consistently, I'm not going to rule anything out. The point should always be made on the QB discussion at Vanderbilt that this is Clark Lee's first, like, recruited quarterback, you know, in his program, and he inherited Mike Wright and Ken Seals. And obviously, as we see with A.J. Swan coming in, basically, you know, Ken Seals is kind of the odd man out right now and probably be somewhere else next year. But it's early still. Again, Mike Wright is the leader of that team. That's something to keep in mind. It's also worth saying, like, if you're the leader of a team and you're struggling with your own play, it makes it a lot harder to lead a team. But he is special as a leader, and they spent the whole offseason trying to figure out how to best tap into his ability. And he's got a lot of it, by the way. He's one game removed from being the first Vanderbilt quarterback to get 6 touchdowns in a game. So I think there's going to be a lot more looking into, you know, like, really investing in him. They've invested in him. They're not just going to be like, no, another bad start. All right, let's go, freshman. Listen, I saw A.J. Swan enough to tell you that if he is starting games and teams are game planning him and it's a totally different thing and he's in games early that aren't over at that point, there is a chance for some picks to be thrown by him. You know, he's a true freshman. Got to keep that in mind. So I don't think it's close, as close as some Vanderbilt fans probably think. I also do think that this is an opportunity for Mike Wright against a team they should be able to move the ball on to get back on the right track.
On the Tennessee front, the one thing that stands out to me, and we've talked about the defensive performance against Pittsburgh. Obviously, Cedric Tillman was awesome against Pitt as well. So, you know, those two things are encouraging moving forward. The one thing that stands out to me, and Adam Sparks actually just now came out with a piece about this at the Knoxville News Sentinel. Two games where I don't think Hendon Hooker's been at his best, that they've still found a way to win. Now, the Ball State game's one thing, but I didn't think Hendon Hooker was at his best against Pittsburgh, and they still found a way to win the game. And to me, that's encouraging as Tennessee moves forward here, because I think he's going to get better. I think some of the throws that he's missing right now, he'll hit on later in the season. You know, he hit on most of those last year too. Now, he's not going to be perfect, and, you know, mechanically, and Jordan Rogers was pointing this out in the Ball State game and kind of gave a good breakdown of when Hendon Hooker misses. It's normally high, and why that's the case. But I think he's been good. He's not been great thus far through two games, and they found a way to win anyway. Now, I do think there are games coming up on their schedule that he's going to have to be great if they're going to have a chance to win. And we'll see if he can do it when the time comes. But, you know, as Sparks pointed out, like, there's plenty to nitpick at with Hendon Hooker. To a certain degree, Cedric Tillman right now, and yet they're 2-0. And both those guys, still numbers-wise, have been incredibly productive.
Yeah. If I'm a Tennessee fan, I'd rather that be the struggle early, knowing what they've already done. And what they still are doing. They're making plenty of plays. And hope that continues to get better and better and sharper, rather than, like, they beat Pittsburgh 51-48. Their defense is a sieve again. But, hey, Hooker and Tillman are on fire. Like, you know, if you're going to have a special season, the other side of the ball's got to provide some help. And I think we're seeing signs that it could in a lot of those games ahead. So, at some point, look, maybe the Florida game is it. Maybe Tennessee's 10 points better than Florida anyway, if he plays like he did against Pittsburgh. I think that's possible too. But at some point, he's going to have to be peak Hendon Hooker as he was in some of those games last year where you're just like, man, this guy is – the ball's out fast. It's accurate every time. They're getting guys open all over the field. Wow. You know, that's going to have to reappear.
JC in Goldsville also asked, is UT another slow start by Hendon Hooker away from Joe Milton 2.0?
Oh, my goodness.
With some crying, laughing faces.
Now, that's a different discussion. Yeah, let me tell you, folks. Now, hey, I will tell you, though, Joe Milton, you're going to get a lot of action Saturday. So if you're if you're a Joe Milton enthusiast, get ready for some football Saturday night.
I'm interested as the season goes on with them. You know, we've talked about those three guys that have settled in at wide receiver. The running game continuing to be a work in progress. And Alex Golis, their offensive coordinator, talked about that this week too. I mean, you know, he made sure to point out that Pittsburgh kind of does what they do defensively, and it's tough to run the ball against them. But I do think kind of settling into that rotation of, you know, how much action is Jabari Small going to get? When is the right time to put Jalen Wright in? Is Dylan Sampson a part of the rotation at all as they move forward and he continues to get better in his freshman year? I don't know what the answer to that is. I know this, and I found this interesting in that game, and maybe it was just a matchup Pittsburgh-based game. Prior to him fumbling the ball, Jalen Wright was the lead back in that game for Tennessee, which I found to be pretty interesting at the time.
Yeah, no question. And that's a really interesting one. Look, it's a great thing. Because I'll be honest, like, I thought he was fine last year. It's freshman year. You don't know what a guy's going to be the next year. But I was pretty adamant that Jabari Small is the clear number one back, and he's going to be really good this year. And then there's other guys in the room and see if anybody can emerge. Jalen Wright clearly got better. Is it the physicality in that matchup? You know, has made a bit bigger difference, was needed. I mean, Pittsburgh's tough to run on. I don't know, but I think it's good for Tennessee if both, you know, you may have a nice 1-2 punch there. Now, then you worry about your depth after that for sure, because I just think Dylan Sampson is an exciting young player, but just probably not a guy you're going to see a ton on the field this year. But Jalen Wright has got to stop fumbling the ball. That is a big, big deal. You know, and sometimes it's good when you get a couple early in the year, it doesn't cost you wins, and you're like, okay, like, you got to refocus. But some people just are fumble prone.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, 2-2 games for him. That's got to be cleaned up as they move forward here. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. We'll get to that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Orders, red, white, and blue, with the Tennessee Oilers, gonna get all over you.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day.
I love this song. Joe, I turn things over to you.
I kind of do too. I'm not angry now, so I have no rant. Sorry, you played a song that I love.
Brooks and Dunn just jamming in the background.
I really want to listen to it right now.
I mean, it's a good song. All right, well, let's talk about A.J. Brown.
Let's do it.
But I kind of mentioned this the other day. But I've honestly, if this has been a rant before, I'm sorry. I don't think this specific rant has been a rant before. But I'm trying to find it. As I'm doing this, and I should have been prepared for this, there's a particular tweet. Actually, maybe hopefully it was deleted to me that I think encapsulates, again, my least favorite Twitter. There's a lot of different Twitter out there. And Vol Twitter, Vol Twitter is like its own special animal, for example.
It is.
A lot, you know, there's political Twitter and there's, you know, movie Twitter or whatever. My least favorite Twitter, and it's on the text line too, and this is all I ask of people, specifically this is all I ask of Titans fans. Like, if you want to sit there and be like, I'm glad, I'm good, fine with me, that's fine on the A.J. Brown trade. I read the constant texts and tweets that are predicting his demise, his health demise, as rooting for his health demise. And here's the thing. Some of you, if and when he does get hurt, I'm prepared for an avalanche of reaction to that and basically celebration of that. So I just ask you, it's not as bad as, like, to me, for example, college football Twitter, groups, Vol Twitter, Buckeye Twitter, whatever, who scream at recruits when they change their mind, reach out to
those
recruits.
Are the worst.
Hey man, you should come to our school. Like that's like, but if you think about it, like if you're sitting there, like you just wait till he gets hurt. Like step back for a minute and ask yourself, like, really? Like that's. And you may, like, look, it's a fair thing to bring up his health for sure, okay? We did that. Before any of this happened, when we were talking about an extension with A.J. Brown, I was like, the only reason I'd have pause if I was John Robinson is, are the injuries going to continue? There hasn't been a major one. There have been a bunch of minor ones. He's missed some time. Yep. That's totally fair. But what I'm getting now is people who want to talk themselves into this being a good thing, essentially, the way I read it, rooting for him to get hurt. Please stop. Please stop. And if he does get hurt, if you send out some, oh, I told you so, tweet, you're a jackass.
Well, like you said, I think bringing up his injury history is a fair thing. I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. And one that, now that he's been paid the money that he's paid, I think is important for him to answer in terms of, like, can you stay healthy a whole year? Can you be healthy? Can you, live up to that contract in terms of your availability? I think we got a pretty good reminder, like, for those that were talking all offseason after the trade was made of, he's not really that good. He's not really an elite wide receiver. Like, I think we got a pretty good reminder on Sunday of how good he is. 10 catches, 155 yards. Now, to your point, it was against the Lions. So we'll see what happens as they move forward.
Fair.
He looked pretty darn good. He had 13 targets, 10 catches, 155 yards. Like, I brought up concerns this offseason about, is this quarterback going to hold him back? He looked pretty good on Sunday too. So,
well, what they did, and they did a lot of things like Zach Berman told us, where they got him the ball quickly. Yeah. That's what you do with him.
Well, exactly.
Let him be a running back all of a sudden, and he's a nightmare for people.
So, I don't really have a problem with people bringing up the injuries in terms of asking the question of, all right, well, can he stay healthy? Because I think it's a legitimate question as they move forward here, both this year and through the duration of his contract. But I agree. Like, if you're actively rooting for him to get hurt, I mean, come on. There's a lot of – I understand, like, you don't want your team to get burned in a trade, but – there's a lot of people in the NFL I don't necessarily root for. I don't root for anybody to get hurt.
Exactly. Again, there's a difference. But there is an A.J. It's rooting for A.J. to get hurt Twitter is what it is. So, again, I'm going to read this tweet. This is what got me going, because I read this, and I think you disagree with me, but I'm going to read it again. At MJA_DHO. Sorry, but, yeah, and it was like, the conversation about AJ's day. This is actually from Monday. Sorry, but A.J. wanted to get paid like he never gets hurt and misses games. The Eagles will look like geniuses until he runs a slant and somebody puts a helmet in his chest and he's out a few more games. His body will gradually break down. I think the Titans will wise let him go. Like, I'm not – that wasn't like, you can't wait. But I just – like, that sentiment is like – it to me, it's like – it is like that. It's like, I can't wait for him to get hurt. Just bothers me. And I'm already bracing for the next time he does get hurt, and everybody gets hurt at some point. I mean, A.J. Brown's going to have an injury. Everybody has injuries. You're very hard-pressed to find players who don't. The Titans' most durable player is out for the year. And I'm already like pre-disgusted by the reaction to that from Titans Twitter when it happens. From some elements. I mean, there's plenty of Titans fans who are actively upset that they trade A.J. Brown, which, in my opinion, is the right way to think about it.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I think he'll stay healthy all year because his energy level is different now that he has a better quarterback.
Whoa.
Wow.
Heidi coming top rope here.
Are we already willing to go Jalen Hurts better than Ryan Tannehill?
No. I'm not. But I appreciate Heidi just going hot take on us. You never know with Heidi. I didn't realize Heidi was such a Tana hater.
Heidi falls into the Tana hater category. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea whether or not AJ is going to stay healthy this year. But like I said, you know, I think there's been a whole lot of this offseason Titans fans trying to talk themselves into this being the right move. Hey, look, maybe it will be. Like, maybe he does get hurt. I don't know. We'll see what happens with his health. But again, as I said, I'm watching A.J. Brown on Sunday and the plays that he's making, and then I'm watching this Titans offense on Sunday and the plays that they're not making, and I'm like, man, it sure be nice to have number 11 out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Niners lost to the Bears, so gross game, but take Deebo Samuel away from them. They're actually decisively dominated. You know, it's hard to find guys like this. Wolf from Nashville says, agree with y'all. Love to ask these people, what if he were your son or grandson? Well, there's all that, too, and just some of the, celebrating at the expense of the misfortune of others.
Yeah.
And that even goes into, it even goes into, like, getting personal about, coaching. And so TD and I talked to a class together about, TD's had a busy week with the kids, talking to your class, right?
Yeah, Joe still won't talk to my class.
TD's a man of the people.
As soon as Brennan's football season is over, I'm in. But
all right.
Monday nights are
true.
We
want a play-by-play from Nolensville High School during the game.
Yeah, well, he sent out all these videos of he had a good game, made a bunch of plays, but the videos have like rap over them with really bad language, and then they got sent to the grandparents. And Katie's like, don't watch these videos. We're going to try to get them with the music that's clean.
Yes.
Anyway. But TD and I were talking to Greg Sage's class at Belmont the other day, and we got into the whole, like, you know, coaches make mistakes, coaches get fired, all these things. But it's okay to think about, hey, that coach also has children and a wife or whatever, or this coach has a spouse, you know. Has a family, has parents, you know, like it's okay. Like there's a line of being personal that I think sometimes gets crossed too. I think especially on social media, but even sometimes in regular media that I think it's worth keep that in mind. Look, I'll go back to Isaiah Wilson. Hey, a lot of people got mad at me for saying, you know what? You could sit here and call him a lazy POS if you want, but there are other things going on in the dude's life, you know, and things that destroy people's lives sometimes.
Tyler on the text line says, are the same people that are okay with the trade of A.J. Brown mad at us for paying Harold Landry, even though he tore his ACL? Interesting question. Now, I will say there was no injury history with Harold Landry, really, before he got paid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting point. Yeah, that's the thing is one of the biggest things with Landry and the discussion, is he good enough? Yeah. But the guy is always available. Yeah. That's what you just can't predict it in this league. No, Chris, I did not ever get a pedicure with Heidi. Heidi still has not ever come and hung out with us in person. It's an open invite, though.
It's always an open invite. A late addition for a possible Rex Rant candidate for me moving forward. JC in Goatsville saying the Lions might be the second best team in the NFC North. Sorry, Robbie. I guess that means he thinks the Vikings are the first. So,
oh,
Oh, okay. So the Packers are third.
I guess in so. This, scenario. Well, it could be fourth, according to JC. We'll see what happens on that front this Sunday night.
If you'd like to take over the rant tomorrow, you can on that topic.
Maybe we will. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Kayla Anderson from News 2. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans as they look ahead to the Buffalo Bills coming up on Monday Night Football. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.